Alrighty. Sabbath blessings, everyone. Sabbath blessings. How's that mic sound? Sound okay? Let me jump over to the text chat. Alright. Okay, there we go. Okay, as you can tell, I'm sounding 10 times better. Much better. Last week, brothers and sisters, I was really put down. But I'm very thankful for the prayers and the many recommendations as far as getting better. Because that's something I don't do. I don't do sick. I turn into a big baby. I really, really do. It's something I don't get sick often. I don't, but when it happens, it happens, and it's not good. I just kind of ball up and like, Lord, I got to get over this. I got to get over this quick because I'm no good to nobody and to no one while I'm in this condition. But it does allow time for self-reflection. It really, really did. It allows some time to think about, diet reform. A lot of those studies that Brother Sean do here in 5 p.m. that relate to the health message. It gave me the opportunity to think about some of those and what I needed to do, as far as, cleaning up my own personal health and being down like I was. It really, really made a difference. It really, really did. And some of those things you tend to kind of, you want to keep. I've been eating oranges like my mind is bad. I've been going through them. I took a blender to work, and it was like, what are you doing? I'm making me a smoothie. Making one of those midday smoothies, just putting in different vitamins, just kind of keep the machinery going. And, of course, when you do these things, people ask questions. And that gives opportunities to share. It does. It gives opportunities to share. Tend to the health message and things you can do for your body, and also turn to scripture on what God ordained for us to eat to keep ourselves healthy, to keep our machine going. It's going. And what a week this was, weather-wise. I don't know how many were affected by the, I don't even know what they called it, the Eta, I don't know, but earlier, like Sunday, Monday, and going into Tuesday, oh, man, it was just rain. It just kept on raining. But can you believe, I take my strawberry plant, and I looked at it, like, wow, it's November, and this thing's still putting out. It is putting out. And I could definitely see the change with, being in the suburbs versus being here. How the strawberries were kind of, they were small. They wasn't, fully putting out like they normally would. But here, I can see the difference. I can see the difference with the berries. They're now fuller. But even still, I showed it to my mom. Like, look at this. This is November. This is normal. Like, no way. This can't be. But, praise God. Still. Having all of that rain and then, going Wednesday and Thursday, the weather just changed, and we had some very, very warm days. Very, very warm days, and Friday was warm, and then today, step outside on the seventh day, and it's 50 degrees outside. Like, what is going on? What is going on here? What is? But, it's just different changes in the weather. You just get kind of adjusted to it. Haven't seen anything nowhere near close to what it would be here in the winter time. But this is normal. This is normal for this area, what they're saying for where I'm at. And technically, it's still fall. We have not approached December yet. It's getting real, real close to that. I can see the leaves falling out here. I'm going to get me a rake, Lord's willing, and get out there in that yard because they are starting to pile. And also I'm thankful for being able to speak with one of my cousins. you may have heard me talk here often. I have a cousin who's a Baptist minister. And when I first came into the knowledge of the truth about the mark and the commandments, I approached him with a lot of things. And we had a lot of back and forth. And initially, you know, he rejected it, of course. You know, he's not going to, you know, be accepting right away. When you come up with the teaching of the rapture and the seven-year trib and Israel being, you know, God's chosen people still, it's kind of like a wall. It's kind of like a wall, and you got to kind of chip it away. And here it is, almost 7-8 years later. Now he rejects Easter. He rejects Christmas. And I'm very, very thankful because of that, because he's seeing things that, you know, you just don't. When I initially came into the knowledge, I came with a rather hardcore approach where I'm just trying to get everybody to, can you see this? Can you see this? It's right here plain. But you got to allow the Holy Spirit to convict. You got to allow that truth over time to open up eyes. Now, people just don't want to see it. They don't want to see it. They don't. I mean, look at COVID. A prime example. I mean, with everything out there about coronavirus, you know, so much evidence about it, yet, you know, people's egos, their pride just will not allow them to see what's plainly set before them. And a lot of them, when it comes to that, they don't want to accept it, because if they do, then there's a lot of things that they also have to question. Like, well, if the government, if the WHO, the CDC lied to me about this, then what else would they be lying to me about? And a lot of them just don't want to go through that. But I'm thankful that my cousin, you know, he's been approaching me with questions. He's been approaching me with questions. He was like, Andre, I think we're really, really close. I'm like, what are you talking about? I think the mark, man, is really, really close, really, really close. And we got to talking, got to talking. And he's slowly getting there. He's getting there. You know, he's coming with this more like a Nicodemus approach, and I'm not saying I'm Jesus, you know, but that's just the approach he's coming at, you know, just kind of having like more private conversations where we talk about this stuff, and it's just exciting to be able to go and share, and then he can look at it and be like, you know what, I'm going to research it, and I'm going to get back with you, and he does, and we have these conversations, and sometimes they get pretty intense, but to be able to share these things. And it causes me to go back and look. Like, hey, let me see what he's talking about. Let me do some digging. And then we go back and forth, and we get to looking. And, it helps. It helps out a lot. So I know when we actually get a chance to see each other, we'll probably just sit down and have a big go at it, just both of us, you know, because we, as individuals, we've come a long way from upbringing and, you know, being out there and just totally, you know, wild. That's what it's leaving as that. And then you can see, like, in time, how we both had changes. We both had different trials come through our lives. And to be able to come to this point together and see, like, okay, this is the way you see it. This is the way I see it. But we're going to let the Bible be the final authority. And then we're going to put it just like this. This is the way you see current events. This is the way I see current events. Let's go to Scripture. And it allows us to, you know, to have some pretty intense debates in that nature. And I'm very, very thankful, because I guess he knows that this is a way to kind of ignite a fire within me, so to speak, to go out and do the digging, get into it, do the research, look for the articles, look for the different news stories and see what's really, really going on. And then sometimes you come across ones that are head scratches, or you come across different videos and you're like, why? Or different ones you could share with, with the church family, like the one earlier with the COVID commercial. Like, whoa, that's just, come on, this is like right in your face, people. This is right in your face. How can you say that this thing is real when all of this stuff is scripted? They put it right there on the TV. That's the reasons why to avoid the television, because it's all programming. And so many, they use the same words. Oh, when it comes to racism, systemic racism, or when I go pick up a lot of people doing ride share, the last thing they'll say to me is, oh, stay safe, stay safe. I'm like, well, I trust God. I mean, this whole mask thing, it's this whole, you know, social distancing and 6 feet apart and all of that. Like, what is the end game of all of this? So I get into the habit where I just take a video like the one earlier or just let it play. And, you know, people will be like, well, what is that? I've never seen nothing like that. Where'd you get that from? I'm like, these are all commercials. And I'm sure if you watch television, you've probably seen one of them. It's just a compilation of how easy it is to program the people. It's how easy it is. And that TV does the work. It does the work when it repeats the same things over and over and over and over again. It's still adults. Can you imagine that happening to children? When our children are exposed to it, you know, going to these schools, where they hear it all day long. They see the signs. They have, they're treated like they're in prison with the 6 feet apart. Don't touch this. Every time you know, cough or sneeze or even speak, go immediately to the hand sanitizer. Go and, you know, wash your hands. It's ridiculous. But that's what's being placed upon them. So when they become adults, they're cool with it. They have no issue with it at all. None. And I said, no, I cannot allow this to happen, you know, to my. And as a parent, you know, you yearn for your children. Like, you know, you don't want the world to shape their mindset, to shape the way they think, the way they should behave. You know, you give them an example as a parent, and your example comes from Christ, our written example, especially for the fathers being the leaders of the household, the ones that who are ordained to protect the household, to lead the household, to five for the household. You know, you have that responsibility when it comes to your kids, when it comes to your house, or your wife, everything right there. But how much more did our father when the care he has for us? To like, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. You're going on the wrong path. You may think that path is right, but that path's going to lead you to death. So he sends teachers, he sends preachers. You know, even Brother Nick was just giving that sermon earlier. You know, some of those things kind of hit. They did. They did. And if it didn't cut, there's an issue. A lot of these churches give you those smooth sermons. You know, that. If you're not coming out of that sermon and there's something that's not cutting, and then that preacher's doing something wrong. He's doing something wrong. He should be coming out of there, and something should be cutting that heart. Some truth should be cutting it. It should. But when you get that, you know, you get the bands and you get those smooth things and, you know, cracking jokes. I went to a lot of churches that were like that. A lot of pastors open up with a joke to kind of, you know, to kind of ease the crowd a little bit. Or the ones that was in there kind of, you know, leaning back and getting ready to go to sleep. Because it happened. It happened. So he'll laugh, crack a joke, or talk about the local team and what they're doing, the football team, things like that. Or even in church early, so they could get home and watch the football game. So where is that, you know, true conviction? Where is that, you know, cutting message? It's not there. It's not found. But praise God that this message, this gospel message, is still being preached. Still being preached. And hearts are being converted. Souls are being saved. Souls are. This week was just strange. It really, really was. When concerning this whole fiasco regarding this election, and you can just see the outcome. You can see it a mile away. You know, Donald J. Trump is still going to be the president. He's still going to be the president. Even right now, I believe they having some event in Washington, D.C., million MAGA march. We get all these people who are up in D.C. right now, and they have organized their frustrations, organized their support behind Donald Trump, and the media is hardly giving it zero coverage. They're giving it no coverage, even though the people have flooded DC. It's going on. They have flooded DC, but the media is giving it no coverage. But to put Joe Biden in the forefront and have already declared him as president, I mean, you can already imagine and can see it. Like, what's going to happen when this decision is reversed? What's going to happen when this goes before the courts, goes before the legal systems, and then it's determined that, you know, Trump is the president? As he is, as it's obvious. It is so obvious, and it's frustrating at the same time, because you look at people like, you don't see this? All these videos of ballots being destroyed, or people ripping them up, or people voting multiple times, or dead people voting, or pets voting. I mean, there's just so much going on and on and on. You don't see this. You still honestly believe that Joe Biden is still going to be president. Now, if somehow or another they still look at all this overwhelming evidence and still determined that Joe Biden is still the president, then you talk about some corrupt times ahead. Oh man, this 2021 is going to be it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. But when you look at the other side of it, when it comes to Trump, then you can also see how they're going to figure out a way to attack the Constitution. And it's going to be put somehow or another. They're going to bring the Constitution to the limelight, and it just gives them more reasons to get rid of it. To get rid of it, even though it protects so many of the American freedoms, but that it has to go. It has to go in order to the Pope, in order to impose, for the Pope to enforce and do what he needs to do with his plans, then that Constitution is something that is getting in his way, and it has to go. And it's not something that I want to go. And I'm sure it's the same thing for each and everyone here. But prophecy will be fulfilled. Prophecy will be fulfilled. And they've got ways. They have their ways to continue to divide the country, to decrease the morale with the people. Or sometimes you just get them to a level where people feel defeated. They feel defeated. They're on weeks in. I see, especially with talks of this next lockdown coming. Some states are already doing it. They're already imposing curfews. I know Chicago's doing it. I know Massachusetts is doing it. And the reasons behind it is COVID, of course. And I think with Massachusetts, their lockdown is like from, or curfew is like from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. I think it's something like that. So for some reason, you know, COVID, throughout the daytime is fine, but at nighttime, that's when COVID decides just to sneak right into the neighborhood and strike. I mean, you just look at this stuff and like, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. But when you have the media, every single day I get a notification on this phone. Every single day, it pops up. Oh, the cases are surging. Cases are surging. Cases are surging. New infections. You know, death toll is going to be in the hundreds of thousands before this year's end. Yet I look around, and the same people that I work with are fine. The same people that I see on a daily basis are fine. I go to grocery stores, talk to, hey, how you doing? Post office, wherever I may go, the people are fine. They're good to go. They're good to go. But if you look at the news, everybody's dying. They're dropping like flies all over the planet. We've got to do something right away. We've got to do something. And then you combine that with ways to decrease the morale. Another big story that has hit the pipeline is this trucker strike that's coming up. And I kind of looked at it in the beginning. I'm like, no, they wouldn't pull that off. No way, because that's like the heart of America when it comes to supply and demand. You got the demand is there, so you got to get supply out. And a lot of that moves within the trucking industry. Logistics is something that I work with. So I see truck drivers all the time, you know, Monday through Friday, so I deal with it on a daily basis. I know how important that is to get these things out to get them in. So they're organizing this strike based on this something to do with Joe Biden and fracking, which makes absolutely no sense because he's not even the president yet. But this is why they're organizing a strike. And the timing of this, brothers and sisters, the timing of this is that they want to do it the day after Thanksgiving for like a four-day time period. So that Friday, Sunday, Monday, I think it's go all the way to Tuesday. It's 3 of the 4 days. But can you just think that how crippling that would be to the supply chain? What they're literally saying, they're going to just stop right in their tracks. They're going to start this and just, you're going to see 18 with the big rigs just sitting on the interstate all everywhere, just stopping, not even moving. So just think about what kind of goods are on these vehicles, and then the timing that they do this. When the day after Thanksgiving, we know what Americans do on a day after Thanksgiving. If you didn't know, just look at some of the recent riots. Look at some of the recent riots and what you see in the riots and people looting. This is what they do on that Friday every single year. Every single year, they go and fight people, break their necks, and stomping on people for a TV, a television, a new iPhone, whatever it may be, whatever that the big companies are selling, you know. And it's something is resonating with me when it comes to this whole strike. Is I find it hard to believe that you're going to see Amazon trucks, Walmart trucks. You're not going to see those trucks stopped on the side of the road. Those trucks are going to continue to move on, whether or not they ship their goods on plane, or whether they just decide for that entire weekend they're not going to ship any goods, or already have everything already set in place. So when these little smaller stores can't get their goods, oh, guess what? The people are going to go to these big chains. And that's even more money for the likes of the Amazons, more for the likes of Walmarts, who already get that big, huge business. Huge business. They do. So for everything else, especially the food supply, can you just imagine that just sitting there on the interstate for a couple of days? And people get desperate. Like, wait a minute, this truck has got supplies, and I'm I don't have any groceries. What are you gonna do? And they were already raiding trucks when it came to those George Floyd riots. They were going in and just taking goods out left and right. When people get desperate, they do these things. And this is a world now with a moral base that is shriveling, where the Spirit of God is being withdrawn. And you look at people and you try to talk to them and you see that love is just going. It's waxing colder and colder and colder and colder. Nothing's going to stop them. And not just the goods themselves being slowed down or not even being delivered to these stores, but also what it does to the traffic or to the travel. I mean, you can just take two big rigs, set them on the interstate, and they just stop. You're stopping traffic. And people may go around it, but you can't get around it. You got to find alternate ways. And I found it mighty strange that if you're not familiar with an area, I tend to do this. This is before a lot of the maps went mainstream. I would carry a little Rand McNally map, and I would have it in the back seat and go to look to try to find an alternate route. But if you got two trucks stopping a major intersection, so to speak, or somewhere on a highway where just two lanes can't get around, and you're going to look for an alternate route. Well, I found it mighty strange that earlier this week, Apple had a huge shutdown on their maps. Huge shutdown. There were people who were reporting that they could not get on the Apple Maps, and they could not log into the system. It also affected rideshare. When I was doing some work that evening, I was in the middle of picking up a passenger. And they kept calling, like, well, where are you at? Where are you at? Well, I told them, I can't find you because my screen's blank. I can't see nothing. I don't know what's going on right now. So it kind of got me to thinking, were they actually testing the waters to see what's going on? If people lose GPS coverage and we shut down the highways, now you don't have GPS coverage. Now you don't know where to go. Now we can direct you to where we want you to go. And with cases spiking, that just gives them a reason to roll out some people to go out there and do some COVID tests and say, we got you all here. Just make sure you're good to go when it comes to coronavirus. It's just some of this stuff, we just kind of look at it. Kind of look at it, you kind of see it for what it is. And if maybe they're just looking to what they're going to do when it comes to how they're going to handle America come 2021. It is amazing. It really, really is. When you go through the steps of Agenda 21, you see how they put everything together, how they want to reset the entire country and get us going into a new direction. Just stop what you're doing right now. Lock everyone down. Shut all these businesses down. The way that Americans are used to doing things, no, we're going to start it all brand completely new. And then we're going to give you a new way of life. A new way of thinking, a new currency, a new employment. Like, these are job sectors that are important. Everything else is non-essential. This is where they're moving. This is where they're moving people. But you can't just do it overnight. You have to test the waters. You have to see just how far people are complacent, how much they will allow before they begin to resist. And when it came to the mask, you saw how just easy it was. How easy it was. I mean, in February, nobody had them on. Like, what are you talking about? It would have been laughable if you'd have presented to anyone that, hey, in just a month, America, everyone in America walking around here with masks, they're going to be afraid to touch each other. I mean, washing their hands every 5-6 seconds. All the social distancing, scared to death because this virus is killing everything that moves. It would have been absolutely laughable. Now, it's the norm. It's the norm. Even though it's not, but this is what they're doing. They're framing a new normal. Like, this is how it's going to be. And you're going to accept it or else. I mean, I just read a couple of days ago, with the Oxford English Dictionary. I mean, those good dictionaries, I guess, where, you know, you get all your good words from, and this is the definition of the word. This is what it's going to be. How they came and modified or changed what the word man and what the word woman means. Changed it. It just absolutely changed it. This is what it's going to be. You're going to accept it or else. Let me just get a small excerpt from this. Okay. The definition. Woman was previously defined in the dictionary as a man's wife, girlfriend, or lover. But now it has been changed to a person's wife, girlfriend, or lover. So that person could be anyone. And it did the same thing for a man. So now, instead of just the opposite gender meaning, now it's just simply a person. This is a dictionary. So when a kid goes to look up the word, child will look up the word, that's what they see. This is how you change minds. This is how you change mindsets. You rewrite history. You rewrite books. You give people different meanings. Different meanings to things, different words that have always meant one thing. Now they just totally change it to mean something completely different. Completely different. This is something that's based as a man and a woman. But they change it. And they have to change it. They have to change it because of the things that they do, the many, many cover-ups, to make it seem like it's just everything's okay, especially when it comes to homosexuality. Rome just keeps on covering up stuff. and that Jesuit with Pope was like, oh, it's fine, it's okay. It's excusable. It's good. I came across one in England, in the UK. I think it was Wales. This headline, a child sexual abuse in the Catholic Church, swept under the carpet. Just swept under the carpet. Pope Francis asked his cardinal to stay in his post. Like, you're not going nowhere. And they had all this overwhelming evidence of this abuse going on in the church. But no. Vatican was like, no, he's fine. Everything's good. Everything, got nothing to worry about there. Have to change the way people think. Like, oh, this is okay. This is okay. If you don't think it's okay, we're going to make it okay by legalizing it, making it normal. We're going to legalize homosexuality. We're going to legalize civil unions, as they call it. We're going to legalize pedophilia. We're going to legalize these things and make them the new norm. Make them the new norm. God will have the last say. He will have the last say. The things that were abhorred by the people, especially when it comes to popery and Catholicism, like, no, we want nothing to do with this. Now it's being accepted. It's being accepted because all the world wonders after the beast. The daily wound has healed. It has. It has. All this togetherness. We got to do it. We got to stay together. The same mindset that they have toward the vaccine and COVID is the same mindset they're going to have when it comes to climate change. And I talk to a lot of college students, a lot, and that is just something that is a topic that they're being taught and it's being pushed to them in these schools is climate change and the threat of our planet coming to an end, something that the Club of Rome has been involved in for years. I mean, they were the ones who came up with the idea of global warming. I believe in the mid to early 90s, they're the ones who came up with it and made it seem like global warming was a thing that was common to all of us. This is our common enemy that is going to destroy our planet. They wrote a book about it. So when it comes to climate change, this is something they've been working on for a long time. Or did they just change the name from global warming to climate change? That's all they did. That's all they did. But you just can't come right away and just declare to the people that, hey, we got to, get on board when it comes to protecting our planet. You got to slowly put it in. Slowly put it in. I remember when I was young, they had cartoons all about it. One of my favorite cartoons was Captain Planet. And it was all about climate change. It was all about pollution. And even then, me getting older and looking back at this stuff, that cartoon had introduced sorcery. It had introduced elements of alchemy because they were talking about fire spirits and wind spirits and water spirits and earth spirits right there in the cartoon, but passed it off as saving the planet. And this was in the early 90s. So when you get older, that was that mindset that they was hoping to have for my generation. But, we looked at it like, the planet is just, people are going to trash the earth, not because of, climate change. Look what they're doing with it, the oil and all of the men are doing this. Men are doing this to the planet. But now the young people are getting something totally different. It's being put in their textbooks. They're being taught this. So they're coming up with this belief that this planet is going to be destroyed because of climate change. With climate change. I mean, did that remind you when you just look in the Word of God, that the very first time that people decided to come together to change the world and to save the planet goes back as far as the Tower of Babel, or Tower of Babel? The Tower of Babel, right there in Scripture, right there in Genesis. I mean, what was the common thread at that time? The fear of another global disaster, which being the flood. see if I can pull up this Spirit of Prophecy quote here. Yeah. Okay, this is Sister White. This is Spirit of Prophecy. Page 91, Volume 1. The unbelieving consulted among themselves and agreed to separate from the faithful, whose righteous lives were a continual restraint upon their wicked course. They journeyed a distance from them and selected a large plain wherein to dwell. They built them a city and then conceived the idea of building a large tower to reach unto the clouds, that they might dwell together in the city and tower and be no more scattered. I mean, they want to put a colony on Mars. Why is that? Is it Elon Musk and all these, you know, so-called great minds, they want to travel into space. They want to go there, even though that no one has passed those radioactive Van Allen belts. People still believe went to the moon. And they want to push this out there. And if you look into this whole space force that Trump has organized and all these different countries who are making, they got a boot camp. Now, it's a branch of the Air Force called Space Force, where they're actually training to go into space. Or training to fight the universal threat, so to speak. And it's laughable. It's a bunch of nonsense. It really, really is. But this is what they're training for. All right, so this quote goes on to say, but the reason that they would secure themselves in case of another flood, for they would build their tower to a much greater height than the waters prevailed in the time of the flood. And all the world would honor them, and they would be as gods and rule over the people. This tower was calculated to exalt its builders and was designed to turn the attention of others who should live upon the earth from God to join with them in their idolatry. Now think about that time period as compared to right now. Right now in this day. They came up with the idea, as the Pope is presenting everyone with this idea now of climate change and how we got to protect the planet. So they came up with their idea of togetherness. We got to dwell together. Ecumenism. Coming together. And what do they want to come together for? To secure themselves in case of another flood, which is the exact same thing going on right now with climate change. Climate change. So that is from Spirit of Prophecy, Sister. Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 1, page 91, that quote. But they wanted to secure themselves in case of another flood. It's like climate change. And how would they do this? Well, they will build this tower, and they will be exalted above all the people. In other words, they will be gods over the people, telling them what to do. Just like the New World Order and the United Nations. Controlling the people. The tower was designed to turn the attention of the people from God to what? Idolatry. Idolatry. Which is exactly what the Sunday law is. It turns people away from the creator to the creature. Because that is man's law and not God's law. It's amazing how you look in the Word of God, how he's already given us these events. He showed us ahead of time, just like the days of Noah and the days of Lot, when this tower was erected. The days of Noah had just finished the flood. And now here we go in the tower being erected. You see the same exact thing happening right here, right now, with the climate change and the New World Order. There's this common enemy. Common enemy. We gotta come together. We have to come together. Then they had to make a name. They had to make a name for themselves so they wouldn't be scattered. These people weren't interested in doing God's will. They just want to be united together. I'm sure Solomon talks about that. Doing hand joining hands. These people will not be unpunished. They will not be unpunished. They can do well together. They can do these things together, preach this togetherness, but you will not be unpunished. This is the enemy's character. Who was the one who talked about exalting himself above the clouds? know, Isaiah chapter 14. This is the enemy's character. This is the same character that he pushes upon me and then is the same character that he pushes upon me and now. This is why so many people can't see it when it comes to climate change, why they can't see it when it comes to COVID, because of that pride. That pride, that pride, that pride. They refuse to let it go. Refuse to be humble, like, you know what, Lord? Something just ain't right about all of this. Something ain't right. You know, as much as you look in the Word and talking about the narrow way versus the broad way, if everyone's jumping on board when it comes to this, it can't be right. It cannot be right. Yet they are. And will persecute you, will harass you, give you hateful looks, simply because you're not doing the thing that everyone else does. Everyone else does. Like, no. If everyone wakes up daily and decides they want to drink a gallon of poison, and you look at it like, nah, I don't want to do that. But everybody does it. And everybody goes around and they get sick and they're wondering why. And then they look at you and like, well, why aren't you doing what everybody else does? We all drink this poison. I'm like, because I don't want to get sick. But everybody does it. But I don't want to get sick. I'm looking at you guys and y'all look pretty bad. I wake up every single morning and you're puking all over the place. Why would I want to do that? But this is the mindset. This is the mindset that has to be crafted. That we're all in this together. We're all in this together. The common enemy, the common threat. The common enemy. And all of this is the enemy's work. All of it. All of it is the enemy's work. Instead of trusting the Lord, the people are being deceived and they're coming together upon common values to save this planet. To save this planet. It's coming to an end. So the will of God, who's already shown us through his word, shown us through his word, given us the word, that the day is coming. Great dark day. The day is coming. The end of days. Yet, men are being deceived that they're just going to continue. Everything's going to be fine, peace and safety, or just better yet, we're going to escape all of this. We're going to escape to Mars, a bit yet. You don't have to worry because you're going to be raptured out of this. You're going to disappear before any of this evil stuff even happens. You're going to just poof, be gone. So the will of God, as revealed in his word, is being replaced by common, universal, human beliefs, human morals, human values. The creature is being exalted over the creator. And again, the Club of Rome, they spoke all about this. They wrote a whole book about it. A whole book. About this universalism, this humanism, protecting the planet. Global warming was climate change now, but global warming. Here's a quote from that book. It's page 150. And it's called The First Global Revolution. And it's more so like a little paper or report from the Club of Rome. It says, can we speak today of universal human values that will be common to all inhabitants of the planet, despite the diversity of their culture? So no matter if you're black, you're white, you're Jew, you're Muslim, Hindu, evangelical, you know, Republican, Democrat, no, we need to all come together to save this planet. These questions are not easy to answer, and yet they are what our future depends on. A global society can hardly be possible without being based on common or compatible values that will shape attitudes. Christ has nothing to do with this. Nothing. None of this is seeking God's will. You had the physical tower. Now you have the spiritual tower that's being erected towards heaven to try and exalt itself above the clouds. The enemy is right behind this. He's right behind this. And think about Daniel. And I think Brother Nate spoke about Nebuchadnezzar earlier. You know, he had a pride issue too. He had a pride issue. But hey, that got knocked down real quick. Real quick. Even Daniel chapter 4. But going to chapter 2. Remember that image? Remember that image? But that Rome was the iron in that image. But now you look at the very bottom of those 10 toes. The mix. We saw that they were not going to get along with just for a short period of time. Very, very short period of time. But Rome is still involved. Still involved. To try to unite the people regardless of all their differences. We still got to unite to, you know, overthrow what is going to happen to a planet. And this is what they're going to do. This is what they're going to use to unite the people. And as we already know, again, preaching to the choir, is the mark. Long prophesied mark of the beast. False Sunday worship. And they've tried so many times in the past to force people to do it. They force them, brute force, torture, you know, killing many of God's people. Try to control the world. But by doing that, you saw what happened. You know, for every Christian that the enemy or the Rome would kill, all of a sudden two more pop up in this place. Destroy two, then just double. And still double. It kept going on and on and on and on. So Satan couldn't just put away Christianity by using brute force. He just couldn't do it. So he had to come up with different methods, different schemes. And now it's all about deception. Deception, deception, deception. We have the Word of God. It's right here. But how many different Bible versions are there out there? How many different versions when it comes to Scripture? You may have just a couple of versions of the Quran, one Book of Mormon. But when it comes to the Bible, there's just so many out there. So many of them out there. Different denominations of Christianity. The enemy is using deceit, and deceiving the world into uniting under this common cause. What? When God has said repeatedly that this world, even through Peter, this world will be burned up. Burned up. It will become ashes. Ashes, that day that's going to burn like an oven. Fervent heat. What is the goal? Again, the goal is the mark. The goal is the mark. All these years of scheming, and coming up with their plans, now they have ways to deceive the people into believing that this common enemy is going to destroy us all. And now we got climate change. And what's the best way to preserve the planet, just keep everything going? It's being experimented now with these various lockdowns. You see different reports on what happens when you just shut down everything for a couple of hours or shut down everything for a day or a week. And let's do it continually. How about for 52 weeks out of the year or 52 weeks, we just shut down every day? The benefit that it will have for the planet. And there's so many people that are on board with this. So many people. I came across a video a few years ago where this guy just went around asking random people, what do you think it would be like when it comes to a day of the week you would set aside to be with your family, or a day of the week you would set aside just to rest everything, not work, no stuff like that. And then people are like, well, it would be good to do that. It would be good to, spend time with the kids, family, a day where we just not to do anything and just, come together and, have community events, things like that. And then he went to ask him, well, what day would be a good day to have something like that? What would you suggest? And he probably asked about 100 people. And every single one of them said Sunday. Every single one of them said Sunday. They all said it. And this was an old video. Years. So that same mindset was already cultivated. Now it's even easier. It's even easier to deceive and control the masses. So they already prepped and primed when it comes to the Sunday law to accept it. Okay, this would be a good thing. But the planet is in jeopardy. It's in danger. This is the common enemy that Rome has set before us. And there are a number of common enemies that the papacy has used. Many of them. Remember the war on drugs or the war on terror. They've used that. They've used so many of these different agendas to unite the people, that this is the war we have to fight. This is where we have to take a stand and come together. But this one, this spiritual tower that they're erecting, this spiritual tower, to secure mankind, to secure humans against these common enemies and unite the world under a common cause. Everything's about being common, togetherness. But what happened to the Tower of Babel physically? What happened to it? It failed. It failed. What's going to happen to this spiritual tower they're erecting? If God gave us a clear example then, what do you think is going to happen in the future? There's no new thing under the sun. So it might look grim, brothers and sisters. It's only going to get worse for those who are fearful. For those who are not preparing their hearts, their minds, both physically and spiritually. For those who are just looking with their physical eyes and not in the spiritual sense. Understanding that you're just a pilgrim here. This is a short period of time. You're just passing through. The world is merely a test. Are you prepared to be in eternity? Or is this the world that you're making your kingdom? Or this is where you want to dwell? Because if you are, then the word of God is clear. If you're going to live here, you're going to die with it. Are you preparing your heart and mind for eternity? This is not a place where God wants you, wants me, wants anyone to be. But this is what the papacy is saying that we need to protect. A dying planet ruled by a dying God, the God of this world, and deceiving many under this common cause. You can't follow man, brothers and sisters. No matter what they put out, despite all these different signs, and you know, because you're going to see them. It's going to be just a matter of time between all these signs we see from social distancing, all these mass signs. They're all going to be replaced with planet signs and Sunday keeping. Every single one of them. The way we see it now. And right now, it's just getting everybody used to it. When you go in these stores where it says face covering required, just change it all to Sunday mandate, however they may word it. However they may word it. It might be through some kind of, I don't even know. When it comes to technology, who knows what they'll have. I just get another app on a smartphone, just show your phone up Sunday or whatever it may be. But that day is coming. That day is coming. And as long as we continue to keep our minds and eyes set on Jesus, we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Let them do as they may. Let them do as they will. Their expectation is going to go by the wayside. I'm going to close with this passage here. Passage that many are familiar with. But sometimes you got to hear it again and again and again and again and again until it sticks. I mean, come on. They keep drilling all this COVID stuff in our heads. You know, if God's people just take that same mindset when it comes to the Word of God, and you'll have the defense against Satan and his attacks. Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 12, to repeat verbatim. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worships the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. We got some interesting times coming up, brothers and sisters, but every day from henceforth is going to be interesting. Every single day there's going to be something that just gives us more hope. More hope that day is rapidly approaching. What you got there, brother? A photo? I mean, what'd you make this photo at? Can you post it? Can you put it in the room now? I don't know. But if you can, if you can, send it or DM me, and I'll take it and I'll put it in the, I'll post it for you. I'll put it in the telechat. Just let me know. Yeah, send me a little PM. Yeah. Well, sometimes it's just kind of you go off the cusp, man. You really do. You just kind of see some of the things of the current events. You see what's going on, and you kind of tie it into the word, spirit of prophecy, and it really gives you better understanding. When God has shown us all of this, it's all been prophesied, and how most people just don't see it. It's kind of bizarre. But then again, with the foods and the chemtrails, and their minds are foggy, it's so cloudy. I mean, when I went outside this morning, this first thing I noticed, I'm like, man, they are spraying the stuffings out of the sky. Oh my goodness. I mean, I just looked up and I just saw just line. I mean, man, like, no wonder people are turning up sick left and right. Like, this is why. It was spraying mighty hard. And it was a nice clear day. So those lines just kind of stuck. They kind of stuck. You can kind of see them. And towards sunset, they kind of fade. So you can't really, you know, once the airplanes are spraying, you can't really see the trail. Not even a good, 50 feet coming out of that plane, and it's, you know, kind of disappears. But in the morning time, oh man, they are clear. They are clear, and they just go spray. They do. All right, but I'm going to drop my mic. It's 5 o'clock hour, and I'm sure Brother Sean is here. He is here. Oh, is he here? Where beeth thou? Let me see. Oh man! Look at you guys, tell I'm much better now, because I think last week I was done. Even phones all over the place. Praise God! It's much better now. But I'm gonna drop my mic, and here you go, Brother Sean. Sabbath blessings, everyone.